It's a beautiful day out there. At least there's no ice storm. It's amazing what 5 months can do in a time change, isn't it? Well, today's scripture comes at the end of chapter 8. I think it's important to note that earlier in the 8th chapter of Romans, the Apostle Paul has been telling us how we are not good enough. Not good enough to restore the image of God we were created with. We are not good enough to return to the original goodness of our creation. In our scripture for today, Paul changes from the focus of no condemnation for not being good enough to one of no separation. Since we are not good enough, our only hope of salvation is through an outside force to combat the effect of sin. But yet, the good news is that God can counter the effects of sin and restore us and all creation. God came in the form of the Holy Spirit. And Paul mentions the Holy Spirit 21 times in just this chapter alone. And I think that implies just how important the Holy Spirit is. Because of sin, Paul tells us how we struggle with praying as we should. And you know what? Whereas prayer can be the answer, sometimes prayer can be a problem. But prayer can be as simple and as easy as talking on the phone to your spouse, your best friend, your mother, your father. And although we may forget to pray, the Spirit never does. And we should never forget to trust in Him. But yet, I know firsthand how weak we are and how difficult it can be to pray. We need instructions and we need guidance. Even one of Jesus' own disciples had to ask Jesus how to teach them to pray. And it's out of that request that Christ has given us what we have come to know today as the Lord's Prayer. And one very important aspect of the Lord's Prayer specifies, "Thy will be done in heaven and on earth." We say, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." And then we end that prayer by affirming that it's all about God and His kingdom, His power and glory. So prayer, it's not all about our needs. Prayer is about bending our will to meet God's will. And we cannot do that on our own. We need help when it comes to prayer. And God provides that help through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's when the Holy Spirit enables our prayers to flow, when our will begins to reflect God's will, something wonderful and amazing happens. We begin to see ourselves in a new light, and our view of the world changes too. And personally, when that happened to me, I no longer felt like that small boat being tossed aimlessly about that turbulent sea of life that we all go through. It's we begin to see ourselves as much as a part of a much bigger plan, God's plan. In verse 29 of this passage, Paul expresses how God has determined a purpose for you and a purpose for me long before it ever happened. And I think this also implies that God unquestionably is capable of planning and bringing about His own divine plan in our lives. And you know, it's with that knowledge, it seems to me, that we should summon the Holy Spirit through prayer, pleading for His clarification of His will in our lives, not only as individuals, but as a church. And you know, there are many prayer opportunities in our daily life, and I think it's important that we not ignore those opportunities. Let me digress just for a moment with this thought. It's a thought I've had many years ago. It may be crazy.
Yes.
It probably is. You are absolutely right. You know, our world is inundated with technology. And we all have a phone, don't we? Everybody out here have a phone? Have you ever had one of those moments when you thought you heard your phone ring or vibrate in your pocket or purse, and then you reached in and you grabbed it and you pulled it out, and there's nothing there? It's just blank. And my first thought is usually, well, I'm going crazy, I'm just hearing things. Well, I don't know when this happened, but there was a point in my life when I thought, wow, what if that's God? What if that's the Holy Spirit trying to get a hold of me and say, Roger, I haven't heard from you for a while. Can you give me a call? Send me a prayer? So, crazy thought as it may be, just think about that for a while next time that happens to you. Going back to verse 28, it's written that all things work together for good for those who love God. Now that's a really feel-good verse, isn't it? At least it is to me. No matter how bad things get, God is going to work it out. But the rest of the verse completes this thought. It's according to His purpose. Paul is saying we're not always going to get what we want, even in prayer. It means whatever God's plan or purpose is, it's going to be accomplished by using us or using me. So it's not about me and what I want. There's a life-changing book, at least one for me was, and it's written by Pastor Rick Warren. It's titled A Purpose-Driven Life. And this book begins with this first sentence. It's not about you. God's plan and purpose takes precedence over everything else in our life and can be transforming. That kind of brings me to the heart of this passage, which speaks a little bit of my own transformation. Verse 31 reads like this. What do we say about all of this? If God is for us, who can be against us? And some translations say, who can defeat us? Well, if you hear nothing else today, I want you to leave you with this one truth. God is for us, then who can defeat us? This has been so empowering to me in my life. And then you may ask, well, how has that been so empowering to you? Well, the only way I can explain it to you is this. It's to tell you about a guy I know really well. Someone whom God transformed his life virtually overnight. That person is me. That transformation began many years ago. It began on a Christmas night, almost 15 years ago, when God stopped me on that night from taking my own life. Yes. Suicide. And he did it by speaking to me through the Holy Spirit. At least that's what I firmly believe today. Telling me that if I took my own life, I would never, ever see him face to face in heaven. Because I had been living on the dark side for many years before that night. Living a life of it's all about me and my own selfish needs. But before that night was over, I had physically fell to my knees, crying from my heart as I had never, ever done before, and confessing my sins. And I told God at that moment that he could have my life completely. Because up to that moment, I had done nothing with my life but screw it up. So I promised God from that point on that I would serve him for as long as I lived. And I would take as many people to heaven with me as I possibly could. And in the many years that have passed since that night, I have felt the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit through prayer and in the world around me. Learning to leave my heart open to his will. And sure, Some days are much easier than others, but I continue to try to do that. To serve him better, I felt that it would be better if I gained a better spiritual education and learn how to become closer to God and understand the Bible much better. Therefore, I earned a biblical degree in counseling, ultimately being ordained by the Christian Church in May of 2009. Of course, I always like to qualify it like this, that I am no more of an EMT than I am a medical doctor. And during the past 10 years, I've had a total of 5 heart attacks. All the while, God has preserved my life each and every time. And I've had many spiritual friends tell me, they say, Roger, you know what? God has a plan for you. But you know what? The way I look at this plan for me, this plan is no different for me than it is for each and every one of you. You see, his plan or purpose for us is to be an example and to lead others to the foot of the cross, emulating Jesus Christ in everything we do and everything we say, every moment of every day. And you know what? That is why I share my story as often as I can, regardless of how painful it is to relive some of those memories. And believe me, it can be very, very painful. So I strongly urge each and every one of you to share your story, your own personal story of how God has worked in your life, no matter how small you think it might be. Share it with someone else. Because I have found out that by doing so in my life, it's opened many, many doors. Many doors that I didn't even know were there, of being able to share with others and to reach out to others about my world with God and him in it. And today, I still continue to walk this new path, new one to me anyway, one which I hope glorifies God and not myself, all the while seeking God's guidance to understand his will. And I do that with purpose through prayer and the Holy Spirit. On this journey through life, with its many peaks and valleys, I have come to believe quite strongly in God's fast love. Believing and genuinely feeling that God's love can change a person's life and their attitude forever. You know, well, God's question, if God is for us, who is against us, may seem to be a little rhetorical. It still begs the question, though. Do we believe God is for us? That his love never ceases? I mean, that is the questions we need to ask ourselves as Christians. And that's a question that I've asked myself many, many times with the thought of, if we're on the same page as God and his will, then who can be against us? That's very powerful. But then on the other hand, I wondered, what if we're not on the same page as God? What if our life's direction is being steered and led by our own personal desires and maybe selfish wants and needs? Then isn't it possible that we could be our own worst enemy? We may be going against God's will or desire for us by seeking and traveling a path he isn't going to bless. And upon reflection with that thought, it became clear to me that I too had chosen many a path that were so obviously against God's will, and they ended up being counterproductive to my life, to a life that honored God and glorified him. Therefore, my life wasn't blessed. It was just downright dismal and miserable. That's what can lead you to the feeling of needing to commit suicide, because you feel like your life is just totally over. Yeah. I can see now that when I changed and began seeking what God's will was and put that at the forefront of my world I lived in, my world changed for the positive. It isn't perfect, but it sure is positive. I then expanded on that thought to encompass what that meant for me and how I interacted with my spiritual family, especially from the aspect of the promise I had made to God those years before, of trying to be that small candle of leading others to Christ. So you must understand one thing about me, that is always at the center of my life. That's my world. And then, in their infinite wisdom, somebody decided to elect me as your lay leader of this humble spiritual family. Thus, that expanded my personal vision to not only include myself, but all of you. So that got me to thinking, how do I lead others to to Christ and to understand God's will in doing so? I think, wow, thanks for the job, right? In some ways, I truly believe that we are going down that path of seeking God's will already. Through our prayer initiative, our small group studies of revival, discipleship, alpha, and mentoring. And you know what? Those are all great pursuits. And if you're not involved, you should be. Please, I urge you. But what if we're doing isn't reaching beyond these walls to spread that good news of Christ to the rest of the world? I mean, what can we do to go outside the walls? But then on the other hand, do we really want to leave the safety of these walls and invite in strangers and outsiders of people we don't even want to know? I mean, it's really comfortable here. It's got to be pretty comfortable for me, and a lot of you have been here for years. You know each other really well. Now that can be good, or maybe that can be bad. I don't know. So why would we want that to change? I mean, good grief. If we bring in new people, new faces showing up, they're going to have problems. New problems that maybe we don't even want. Because you know what? They're going to bring in baggage with them. And I know, I brought my own baggage, so I'm sure others will too. And you know what? Heck, I'm an introvert. I get that. But you know what? It isn't about me. I wouldn't be able to stand up here if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit. Because I don't reach out very well. But it isn't about me. It's about my Savior, Jesus Christ. I love God, and I know you love God, or you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here to worship. So I want to share that love of God, don't you? I mean, what's the cost if we don't? I think it's pretty simple. Someone may miss out on the opportunity of knowing the God that we know. And I can't live with that. I mean, missing that opportunity of sharing the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior, I just dread that thought, because I think of my life and the impact that God has had on my life. And I remember, it's not about me. It's about God and His will. And it's then that I know that God is for us, because He has shown me how much He loves us by giving His only Son so that we might live, not just in heaven, but here on earth, right here, right now. He sent his only son so that we may break that terrible hold that sin has over our lives. And you know, it's not just about those big ones of alcohol, drugs, and sex, but some of those little ones about worry, hate, anger, and pride. Sin is sin, but God is for us. I mean, could any of you give up your son, your daughters, your wives, or your husband to be tortured and humiliated and crucified for someone else, whether they deserve it or not? No, I know I couldn't, and I doubt not many of you could either. But God did. Because God is for us. And I can phrase it a million different ways, but only God can penetrate your heart and let these words flow in. Regardless of whether you hear it or not, there is nothing in life that can separate us from God's love. His love is that powerful. I felt it. I mean, after giving up his son, in spite of our weaknesses, our doubt, our failure to obey him completely, our personality failures, our illness, our anxiety, our fear, it will not stop him. None of our imperfections will separate us from his love. And after the life that I live, I know that firsthand. Therefore, verses 38 and 39 are some of the most magnificent to me in the Bible. Whereas no power on earth or heaven or hell can prevent us from entering God's presence. Nothing means nothing separates us from his love. So can we just sit by idly and do nothing and not share that love with others? As the singers come forward, I ask that you join with me in prayer at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, may we continually call on you in prayer, not only for those things we want or need, but if for no other reason than we always need someone to talk to for guidance and encouragement. Because God, I have learned that you are the best friend that anyone can have. And it's with the full knowledge that you are there and you love us. And we love you, Father. So please, Father, strengthen us, empower us, guide us in showing how we can step out of our comfort zone and reach out to those who need to know you, need to understand that you are the power, you are the eternal life that we seek. In my Savior's name I pray. Amen.